gold letter scroll around the equator. Universal, an MCA company. The Earth rests among the millions of stars and drifting gas clouds of space. A thick layer of trees covers the mountainous terrain. Orange letters appear. Tierra del Fuego. A man in a red poncho leads a little man on a horse through the foggy forest floor. A man in a brown hat rides on a horse behind them. Skeletons hang from the trees. The man in the brown hat gestures a sign of the cross. The man in the red poncho continues to lead the little man.
Hold it right here.
The little man unfolds a map. He runs his fingertips across the map. He looks up. The man in the brown hat rides up behind him.
It's a good thing you didn't tell us this is where you wanted to go.
Why's that, Toad Boy?
Because we wouldn't have. This place is dangerous. There's a legend. 400 years ago, a ship stopped near here and left behind the treasure. Must be a big treasure for someone to go to the end of the earth to hide it. And for some gringo to go just as far to dig it up.
Huh? The little man stares off.
You're a smart boy, Miguel.
He smiles.
Because of that, I'm gonna let you have some of what we find.
Remember you say that.
Oh, I will.
Miguel nods.
I'm gonna let it have a little of you, too.
A skeleton leans against the mossy statue of Jesus holding a cross. The group rides up. The little man looks at the map as the man in the red poncho guides his horse.
Right about here. Tell your men to start digging right here. The opening to the cavern's about 2 or 3 feet down.
A cavern. That's what the Indians say. The men who came buried their treasure in a cavern. Vamos a excavar aquí.
The sun sets. The men dig next to the statue. In the cavern, one of Miguel's men holds a lit torch toward a casket bound by leather straps. Miguel looks up. The little man holds onto a rope that lowers him into the cavern. Miguel helps the little man get off the rope.
You know, this thing doesn't look like a treasure chest, huh? Looks more like a casket.
Right again, amigo. And inside it is the most incredible treasure in the whole world. Cut the straps!
Miguel cuts the straps with a machete. The little man's eyes widen and his jaw drops.
Come on. Open it up.
The little man opens the casket. Miguel kneels. He removes spiderwebs and tarantulas with his machete. A skeleton lies inside.
What the fuck?
Boys, meet Lilith.
That's it. That's your goddamn treasure.
This here is the most horrible woman the world has ever known. And she's all mine.
You sick, pathetic little piece of shit. You drag us all the way to the end of the earth for a fucking stiff? Vámonos!
This ain't no ordinary stiff, my friends. I've been looking for this little lady for 10 long years. Searched the four corners of the earth. Just to find her heart.
A wooden box.
So I could give it back to her.
He removes the lid. The men lean toward him. Inside the box, 4 pieces of red meat lie in 4 separate compartments. 2 of Miguel's men look at one another. The little man pulls at one of the dividers. 2 of the pieces fuse together. They spark and pulsate. He pulls another divider. 1/3 piece fuses with the other 2. The man with the torch waves it past his face and leans in more. In the box, the 4th piece pulses next to the larger piece. Miguel sweats. The 4th piece moves closer to the larger piece. The little man's eyes widen. The 4th piece fuses. He reaches into the box and takes out a beating heart. One of Miguel's men shakes his head. The little man holds the heart over the skeleton. Miguel kneels next to him. The little man places the heart into the skeleton's rib cage.
No sé cómo lo está haciendo. How are you doing that?
What can I say, boys? I know how to turn a woman on.
The heart glows and pulsates. The heart. heart stops beating. The little man's smile fades.
Damn. That's not supposed to happen.
He hits the casket. The tarantulas crawl over the skeleton. He hits it again.
Wake up! Wake up, you bitch! Shit!
He looks at Miguel.
Wrap her up. We're taking her with us.
The little man walks off. Miguel grabs the little man by his shirt.
You sick piece of shit.
Blood pours from the bottom of the casket.
God, blood. Blood.
Miguel and his men look at one another and shrug.
Corabrelo.
Orange sparks shoot across the skeleton's chest.
Ay, madrecita.
Sparks spread across the skeleton's hand. They stare at the skeleton with their mouths agape. Flesh forms over the skeleton.
Mama! What is that?
It's a vampire. The mother of all vampires!
Red hair grows out of Lilith's head. Her eyes form. She rips a man's heart out and bites into it. The man with the torch holds it towards her. He turns and grabs the rope.
Come to me.
Miguel tosses him to Lilith. Lilith squeezes the man's head. His eyes bulge out. Blood pours out of his orifices. The little man takes the glowing golden key out of his satchel.
Chill, baby.
She grabs the key. Her hand smolders. She lets go.
What is that?
You don't get to the movies too often, do you?
Miguel mouths, movies?
It's the only thing that keeps her in line. The blood inside. Gives whoever possesses the key total power over Lilith. Doesn't matter where the key is. In a pocket? In a safe? Or right in her face? All right, sweetheart. Hey, beautiful. If I give you one more.
What are you doing?
You promise to behave?
Anything for you, lover.
You son of a bitch.
Miguel climbs the rope. Lilith turns toward him. She elongates her tongue and grabs him with it. A mummy sits at a table with a candelabra on it.
And then she rips his face off. And she eats him.
The crypt keeper shakes his head.
I know. It doesn't sound like all that much, but it'll do great business for him. And the cassette, believe me. You know, the last picture that I directed made a fortune. And I don't need to tell you what a piece of shit that was.
No, you don't. I know what a piece of shit it was.
Jack! Jack! How are you? Kudos to you, my friend, on your promotion. We must do lunch. Must. Schmuck there. When I was still acting in motion pictures, I couldn't get him to call me back. Not a single goddamn phone call. Now, of course, he'd give his left nut to work with me. No.
I'd give my left nut for this lunch to be over.
Which brings me to why I've asked you here today. You and I have been friends for a long time.
Bullshit! Yes, we have, haven't we?
Just as well you feel that way. Because I don't think this tomb is big enough for the both of us.
He picks up a cleaver.
Which is why I would like to propose a friendly little competition. Winner take all.
You're on, pal. One.
Two.
Three.
My rock beats your scissors. Give me that hand.
The mummy raises the cleaver over the crypt keeper's hand.
That didn't hurt one bit.
You ready for round two?
Go for it. Well, kiddies, looks like your pal the crypt keeper's in for the fright of his life. Death. Which is kind of like the man in tonight's tawdry tale. He's about to meet the ghoul of his dreams in a nasty bit of scarnal knowledge I call...
On a menu, a house lights up.
Bordello of Blood.
Green and purple letters appear in front of the house. Tales from the Crypt presents, in red, Bordello of Blood. The letters pulsate. Inside the house, a blonde woman rides a stationary bike.
I walk with the Lord. That's why everyone here at the Current World Ministries has made the Lord's work our number one priority. And of course, we can't do this important work without your generous donations. So get out your checkbooks and help wipe Satan's slimy hole from the face of mankind.
A man lies on his back. He wears three earrings on his right ear and a skull-shaped piercing in his nose. He blows smoke out of his mouth. He sticks out his tongue and squeezes it between a paper hole punch.
The Bible tells
Caleb.
She removes her headphones and wipes her face with a towel. She runs upstairs. She walks down the hall to a door with a skull poster taped to it.
Caleb! Are you out of your mind? Half the neighborhood can hear this music.
Well, I am very sorry. I must apologize.
He turns the dial.
There! That's for the other half.
Would it kill you to consider for 2 seconds of your life?
Yeah.
He blows smoke in her face.
It probably would.
Well, great.
She reaches toward the dial. He grabs her wrist.
Keep it down.
Thanks. I was going out anyway.
Where are you going?
My sister, not my parole officer.
Yeah, well, a parole officer's exactly what you need.
Fuck you.
Oh, Caleb, look. Don't go out looking for trouble, okay? Stay home, please.
What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that maybe I'm gonna go out and have some fun, for God's sakes? Oh, I know what it is. You're afraid that maybe I'm gonna be sentenced to hell. Well, I got news for you, sister. I'm already in hell.
A tattoo of the Crypt Keeper on a man's upper arm. The man wears a red bandana around his head. He looks over at Caleb, a guy in a jean vest and a guy in a flat cap. Caleb holds a cigarette in his mouth and wears sunglasses. Caleb turns his head toward the guy in the jean vest and stares. The guy's smile fades. Caleb aims and tosses a dart. A blonde man's head obstructs the board.
Shot, dude. One more, we win.
Shit, what are you talking
about?
Oh,
shit.
Hey, $5 if you hit him in the nuts.
$5?
$5 in the nuts.
Are you serious?
What?
$5 in the nuts.
Hey, $6.
Man,
$6.
Wait.
We got $6
over here. $10.
$10.
We got $16.
$16.
That's 16.
Can you beat?
It's too rich, buddy.
All right. Looks like we got ourselves a bet.
Let's go.
Caleb removes his sunglasses. He aims another dart.
Jimmy.
He tosses the dart.
Oh,
he removes the dart from his crotch.
Sorry, dude. It's sweat. Hey, look at it this way, pal. At least they're paying for the beers, right?
I wish you boys would stop playing that game. It's disgusting. Why don't you just go out and get yourselves laid?
It's not a bad idea. How about it, Louise? Why don't you come over here and give me a little piece of what you got going on over there?
You know.
You're a little young for me, honey. Why don't you come back when you grow some hair on your nuts and we'll talk about it.
Oh, my.
Why don't you come look at my nuts? They're very nice. Just getting laid, boys. Sooner or later.
Here's to getting laid. Sooner and later. Boys, I know a place not too far from here where you can get the best goddamn piece of ass. Goddamn world. They got girls that'll do things there aren't even names for.
Why don't you get fucked?
The man with the red bandana grabs him by his shirt.
I'm talking about getting fucked so good, you might be able to crawl 3 days later.
Okay. Sounds pretty intense, all right, man?
325 Beaumont. Ask for the Cunningham. Wake.
The man with the red bandana lets go of his shirt.
Yo, you crazy bug-eyed motherfucker! You better walk away. I'll kick your ass, man.
Caleb grabs the man in the flat cap's shoulder and walks past him.
Yo, Caleb, where are you going, man?
Where the fuck do you think I'm going? Cunningham Wake.
What?
Pussy's coming or what?
No!
The blind man follows Caleb.
What are you doing, man? The guy's insane!
In a car.
Cutchin funeral home.
25 Beaumont. That's what the guy said.
They drive through the gate toward a mansion. Lightning flashes.
You think there's a party going on inside?
I don't know, but if one member of the Adams family opens the door, I'm out of here.
At the front door, Caleb looks through a side light.
Come on, try again.
A balding man in a smoking jacket leans against the front door.
Hello.
I had a few lines.
Okay, we're out of here.
I don't think so.
Here for the Cunningham wig, are we?
They pause. Caleb puts his cigarette into his mouth and pushes his sunglasses up. They turn toward the balding man. Caleb blows smoke into the balding man's face as he enters.
Excuse me.
The balding man leans outside. He looks left and right and shuts the door.
Nice place. We got about 10,000 termites holding hands here.
I hope you boys are ready to have fun.
He slips open a set of sliding doors, revealing an empty chapel.
Just the thought of all that naked flesh waiting for you. Ooh, I join you myself, but somebody has to wash the door. Been so busy tonight.
Yeah. Looks like a packed house to me.
Yeah. Come on, boys, keep up, keep up.
This guy's pretty fucking creepy.
The balding man opens a set of curtains.
Oh, my God.
A coffin.
It's a necrophiliac's wet dream.
Come on, boys. The girls are waiting.
Girls.
Come on, chop, chop. In you go.
You want us to get in the coffin?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind, old man.
Yeah.
We were going to take you up, but thanks. We've changed our minds.
He takes out a gun.
Changed your mind? I'm afraid this is the only way out. Come along, boys. Get with the program. The party is this way.
Caleb looks at the blonde man.
You heard the man. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Come, come.
Really?
I insist.
No, I insist.
Caleb grabs the blonde man's shoulders and pushes him.
Man, I don't like this.
Caleb stares at the balding man. He steps into the coffin.
Man, I must really be horny. Oh, fuck.
What a handsome couple you make. Done!
He closes the coffin. The balding man pulls on a bell rope. A door slides open, revealing a furnace. The coffin moves on a conveyor belt toward the flames. The balding man watches with a smile on his face. The coffin slides down a ramp in the furnace. Caleb and the blonde man hit the top of the coffin. The coffin continues to slide. Caleb and the blonde man scream into one another's faces. They stare upwards. The coffin slides out of a fireplace. A hand opens the coffin.
Are we dead yet?
A woman's bare chest in green lingerie.
I think we've died and went to heaven.
A brown-haired woman smiles.
Evening, boys. We've been waiting for you.
Caleb and the blonde man look at one another. The brown-haired woman walks off. Topless women stand and sit around men. A topless woman in purple lingerie walks holding hands with a black-haired man. Another topless woman leads a shirtless man on a leash.
Oh my God.
The woman in purple lingerie makes out with the black-haired man.
Holy shit.
A long-haired man kisses a dark-skinned woman's neck.
This is deep.
The blonde man waves. The dark-skinned woman walks over.
Hi, boys.
Hi, girl.
How would you like to take the Skin Express to Toonatown?
How do I get myself a ticket?
She looks at his crotch.
Looks like you already got one.
Well, it's a very small ticket. It's a short ride.
It's a ticket.
The dark-skinned woman takes the blonde man's hand and they walk off.
Hey, man.
Caleb winks.
Killer.
The blonde man gives him a thumbs up. The dark-skinned woman leads him upstairs. A woman in red lingerie walks over to Caleb.
I'm Patrice. I want it fast, and I want it dirty.
I can do that.
The blonde man kisses the dark-skinned woman. He pushes her hair off her neck, revealing two punctures. She pushes him onto a bed.
Oh, baby, you're getting me so hot. Oh, I don't know what to do with myself.
She walks away from him and unties her top. She looks at him.
Oh, that's a great start.
She walks toward him.
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to take off my clothes, too?
She rips his shirt.
Okay.
You've got nice skin. Nice hair.
She cuts his chest with her fingernail.
Hey.
Nice blood.
What the hell did you do that for?
Because I want to taste every last bit of you.
She lowers down.
Okay.
Do you mind if I cut in?
Lilith leans against the doorframe.
Who are you?
The name's Lilith. I'm the boss. Didn't Tallulah explain how we work here?
No.
She gets you ready, and then I finish you off. So, are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm ready.
Come here and show me what you got.
Okay.
She sticks out her tongue and leans toward him. Her tongue elongates down his throat. His eyes widen. Her tongue pushes his heart out of his chest. She grabs it. Her tongue snaps back into her mouth. He collapses.
Don't eat your heart out, baby. That's my job.
She bites into his heart. Patrice's bare chest reveals three pierced nipples.
Guess I finally found a girl with a little something extra.
She bites her tongue and raises her eyebrows. She bends down and leans toward him. They kiss. She pulls her hair back, revealing two punctures on her neck. They separate. She kisses his neck.
So what are your hobbies?
She pulls on his shirt and continues to kiss his neck. She lowers down.
There's something I need to ask you about.
My girls know better than to talk with their mouth full.
Whoa. Two chicks. That's cool.
You care for a little deep throat.
In a police station.
Deputy, you don't understand. My brother's been gone for days.
Ma'am, I understand just fine. Right now, I'm up to my eyeballs in missing persons. I'll get to your brother after I've gotten to all these cases first. I'm sorry.
That could take forever.
Ma'am, I'm sorry.
Fucking cops are unbelievable.
Great.
Now, that's just ridiculous. A pretty lady like you being treated like that.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, I couldn't help overhearing. My name is, Rafe Gutman. Gutman Investigations. I specialize in missing persons.
He hands her a card.
Can I get that back? Save the trees. Just doing my part. Listen, I have an office over here. Maybe you and I could go talk.
Hey, what's your doing, huh?
Rafe Gutman. We could talk about this, unless, of course, you want to stay here and let the A-team get to your brother's case. Wait up!
I've had a few run-ins with the cops myself, miss. I didn't catch your name.
Catherine. Look, Mr. Gutman.
Call me Catherine.
I'm not sure that I'm actually ready to hire someone right now.
Well, what are you waiting for? Every minute you delay, it's harder to find your brother. You gotta trust me. I'm an expert.
Well, I guess it couldn't hurt to talk.
Of course it would. And I'll be gentle. And, you know, I can't believe it, but I'm actually going to ask a woman this. Haven't I met you somewhere before?
She shakes her head.
It must be my imagination. Well, anyway, we're here.
They look up at a marquee.
And I know you're already feeling a little bit better about me, aren't you?
On the marquee, now playing Gutman Investigations in an abandoned theater.
Why don't you plunk it down right over there? So why don't you tell me about your brother?
We had a fight. He went out and he never came back.
That's one hell of a tiff. That sort of stuff happen all the time?
Well, we argue a lot, if that's what you mean. And then he goes out, gets drunk with his friends, and usually he comes home.
Yeah, not this time. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to need the names of those friends. I'm going to need some phone numbers, some addresses, maybe a photo, charcoal rendering. You got anything like that?
Yeah, I did bring a picture with me.
He eyes her legs. She takes an unfolded photograph out of her purse. She turns it toward him and looks at him.
What are you looking at?
Your clutch. I'm a purse freak. Come on, I'm looking at you. I swear to God I know you. We've never met?
I don't think so.
She hands him the photo.
Well, you know something, dearie? If it's any consolation to you, you know, you're just not my type.
That is comforting. Believe me.
Can I get you something? Maybe a cookie? Popcorn? A little Prozac, dear?
I'm fine.
So this is your brother. Jesus Christ. Wow. Same parents? Can I keep this?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Might have to wear this in a locket.
How much is this going to cost me?
$150 a day plus expenses.
Now I know I made a mistake.
Oh, come on. Don't club me with the dramatics. All right, I've got a half price sale this week on missing brothers. How's that?
Okay.
One sec. Hey, hello. Gutman Investigations. You've got Gutman. What the fuck are you doing calling me here? Sake, what do you want now?
Catherine walks off.
You know, you're reminding me why being married to you drove me to the brink of homosexuality.
I'm not hiding out on you. Business has been dreck. Hey, I don't care what your slime bag lawyer says. I'm not holding out on
she
you.
She picks
don't
up the movie poster.
It?
Chubby O'Toole and Thunder Thighs.
What a sleaze.
I gotta go. Fuck you. Hey, where are you going? Something spooky?
No, I'm fine. Don't worry, I will pay you for your time.
I don't want paid for my time. I want paid for helping you. Like it or not, Catherine, I'm all you've got.
A cue ball hits a rack of pool balls.
I'm gonna win this one for you, honey. And you.
You just couldn't possibly get any cooler, could you?
Excuse me.
I am Rafe Gutman.
Gutman Investigations. There's my card.
Rafe places the card on a pool ball.
Nice card, Rafe.
The man in the flat cap rips the card in half twice.
I'll give you a hand with your card, Rafe.
All right.
Put that there for you.
You know, I'm considering the gauntlet officially thrown, friend.
Yeah.
Listen, you're Zeke, aren't you?
I'm Zeke.
Zeke, I'm looking for your friend Caleb. You seen him?
I don't know anyone named Caleb, Rafe.
You don't know shot selection either. You really gonna do that? You really thinking of that? You gonna pot the cue ball, man?
Why don't you go to hell?
Why don't I get out of the way of the shrapnel?
Zeke hits the cue ball. The cue ball rolls into a pocket.
God damn it!
What did I tell you? What did I tell you? What's happening, Tonto?
You're shot. Are you still here, man?
I'm still here, and that cue ball's still potted. See, you boys both have a nose thing. Maybe you're watching a little too much QVC, huh?
That's quick. Fuck you.
Consider me fucked.
The man gets the cue ball. The cue ball misses two balls.
What's next on the shit shot agenda here for Zeke? You cannot be serious. You know, really, you should think about putting three in.
Look, I don't know where Caleb is, all right? Him and Reggie, they went off to get laid.
Long trip.
Why don't you get the fuck out of my face, Tiger?
I'm there for you, Zeke. What about you, Stephen Hawking? You seen Caleb? Seen his girlfriend?
He ain't got no girlfriend.
No.
They went to a whorehouse.
Oh, you like whorehouses, don't you? At this point in your life, you're pretty much at peace with having to pay for it. Hey, you got an address on that whorehouse?
Beaumont, I think.
Beaumont, you got a number for me? Come on, squeeze it out.
The man scratches his head.
325.
Dude, you are making such progress. I'm gonna get another scratch and notch back on your dosage.
You know, all right. This is real cute, all right? I hate to break it up, but I want to play some pool here.
Shot number three. I don't know, man.
Fuck off!
I'm telling you, man, that's a bad, bad angle.
Zeke hits the cue ball. The cue ball knocks into a mug of beer.
You asshole!
Six pack and a side cleavage. What?
A step outside.
You know, Zeke, not right now. Just not in the mood for a blowjob. Hey, I got a rock, kids.
A red car drives over to the mansion.
Oh, Mrs. Johnson, you were a past vital. And that's the Mrs. Johnson I remember.
Rafe sits next to the man in the red bandana. The man squeezes a bottle of sunblock down his left arm.
The emaciated. Worm-eaten things that she...
fucking breaking here. Where do they need the lights on anyways?
We all knew and loved. She was a good woman. Good. A good three of them.
Rafe looks at the man in the red bandana. The man snarls. Rafe smiles. The balding man holds a tissue to his nose.
Interment will follow at the Mount Hope Cemetery in Hemingford.
Pallbearers stand. They walk over to the casket. The balding man gestures the sign of the cross. They lift the casket.
Wow, she was a heavyweight.
Outside, on a billboard, Current World Ministries.
Be a friend. Jesus. It's good to have the Lord as your friend. God's light shines down upon us all, and that's why I say, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? And I don't mean just because it's sunny. I mean, it is a beautiful day.
Catherine holds a clipboard and claps.
My friends, a little while ago, I promised you all that we would change the world. Yes, that we would make it ready for the judgment day, because it's coming. That's right. Yes.
He looks at the blank teleprompter.
Yes. It's coming. Yes, it is. That's right. Yes, it's coming soon. Well, now I can tell you all that the final battle is upon us, that the assault on sin itself has begun.
He lifts up a guitar. Rafe walks in.
And when the smoke clears, is there a doubt in any of your minds who will be the victor?
He jumps and strums his guitar. He dances across the stage. Men in red jackets play instruments behind him. He kicks his leg out and hops across the stage. He continues to dance with the guitar. A cameraman films him. He pauses and walks toward the camera.
And you, good people, you who are the guts and the organs and the heart of the Jimmy Current World Ministry, you, praise him, you will be the ones who will lead the rest of the Lord's children to glory.
Glory.
That's right, I said glory.
Glory.
Praise him. Glory. Yes, I said glory.
Catherine claps. The audience stands. Jimmy Current walks to the men in red jackets and puts down his guitar.
Thanks, boys.
Amazing, JC.
The little man walks over.
Reverend, I have those construction plans for you to see.
Brother Benson, I look at him in my office. Oh, and you tell that teleprompter operator he loses me again, I'm gonna fire his butt. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord bless you and keep you. You got some figures for me, darling?
Yes, I
Lord
do.
Bless you.
For just under $5 million, we're gonna have a Lord Shopping Network on air by the end of the year, and I will have all the different product tie-ins for you by next week.
That's incredible, Catherine. You're incredible.
Thank you.
Catherine?
Hi. This is Rafe Gutman. He's the man that I hired to help me find my brother.
And have you found him yet?
Sorry, Rav. I'm on her dime, not yours.
Oh, I don't have any secrets from JC. It's fine.
Well, that's all right, Catherine. I got a ton of work on my desk.
JC nods.
Good to meet you, Mr. Gutman.
Yeah, he just radiates a Christ-like glow, doesn't he?
Nice place, Catherine.
Sort of like Superman's dad's joint on Krypton.
Mr. Gutman, have you found my brother yet?
I haven't made contact, but I did get a lead on him. He and a friend of his evidently went to a local whorehouse.
A whorehouse?
A house inhabited by whores.
She looks away.
Okay, well, I figured it would be something like that. Thank you for your time, Mr. Gutman. My checkbook's in my office. I'll be right back.
You know, I'm not nearly finished my investigation.
You know what? If that's where he is, I'd rather not know about it.
In a bar.
What is it with these religiosos that makes me so uptight? That's a shame, too, because she was hot. Really hot. You know, as women of God go, she was ungodly.
Oh, you could always convert.
Nah, man, that,
The man in the red bandana sits at the bar.
Old-time religion and sex just don't mix. Unless, of course, you're a Catholic priest.
Sex.
The man bites into a raw burger.
You looking for sex?
Well, Hopalong chiming in over there. I might be, but, want to throw a Bic lighter on that burger first? For Christ's sake, it's still mooing. Didn't I see you at the funeral today?
I know a place not too far from here. You can get the best goddamn piece of ass in the whole goddamn world. Now, they got girls that'll do things there aren't even names for.
You know, you make it sound really enticing.
325 Beaumont. Ask for the Cunningham.
All right. Thank you. Now, you loosen that headband, okay?
In an embalming room.
We're going to have some wild games tonight. And I want you to know something, Mrs. Fatter. I'm very proud and happy to have you on my slab.
He looks at her breasts. He holds his hands above her nipples. He presses into her left nipple. He presses into her right nipple. He taps his fingers down her torso.
Woo!
He holds a scalpel. He cuts an incision down her torso. He leans toward the incision. smiles and looks over at her face.
Lovely perfume.
Who is that?
He turns toward Mrs. Factor with the scalpel in his hand. He stabs it into her gut.
Yes?
I'm here for the Cunningham wake.
I'm afraid the wake is closed tonight. Come back tomorrow.
I really must pay my respects right now.
Then I suggest you come back tomorrow.
Maybe you don't understand me. I'm feeling excruciatingly sad.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And if I don't grieve right now, maybe even grieve two or three times, I'm going to go out of my mind, okay?
I suggest that you go mourn somewhere in private with a box of tissues.
Rafe runs to the side of the mansion. He steps onto a porch and looks up. He climbs up a trellis. Above the trellis, a balcony with cracked open double doors. On the balcony, Rafe peeks through the doors and slowly steps down an unlit hall.
Ooh, that's such a pretty name. You know, we have a very different idea about the profession. For us girls,
he leans his ear toward a door.
For coming.
What else did Vincent tell you? He told me that you took good care of the girls and that you offer some kind of benefits. Is that true?
Yes, we do have benefits.
Rafe walks down the hall toward a balcony that overlooks the front parlor.
There's never any peace.
The balding man unlocks the front door.
Hi, I'm here.
Wake is closed tonight, you little shit. Come back tomorrow.
But I...
The balding man locks the door and walks across the parlor. He pauses and looks at the empty balcony.
I'm coming, Mrs. Factor.
Rafe slowly steps downstairs. He pauses and looks right. He continues to step downstairs.
We're catching.
Rafe runs toward the sample room and hides behind a door. Lilith walks downstairs. Rafe hides behind an open casket.
McCutcheon!
Rafe pulls on the top of the casket. He ducks. Lilith looks toward the sample room. She picks at one of her fangs with her fingernail. She looks under her fingernail and walks toward the sample room. She sniffs under her arm.
Ugh. Deadly.
She walks off.
McCutcheon!
Rafe runs off. In the embalming room.
Wow. Hey, guys. Looking for a scalpel for a friend's birthday present? Seen a salesperson? No? Okay. Stealing from the dead, huh?
He touches a jar full of teeth. He looks over at a tray covered in blood and jewelry. He grabs a pair of tweezers and picks up a skull-shaped nose ring.
So we have our sunrise symbolizing faith and the dove symbolizing good value. And, of course, once we animate it, the dove will appear to fly straight into camera.
I like it. It's simple. Clean.
Rafe enters.
And tasteful. Don't forget tasteful. Sorry to disturb you, but Catherine, I have something you should see.
I thought you said Mr. Gutman had finished his investigation.
He has finished. Mr. Gutman?
Mr. Gutman, your job is done. Now, if you don't leave, I'll be forced to have you removed.
Fine. Catherine, you should really take a look at that.
He hands her the nose ring.
Take care of you two.
She looks at the piercing. She runs down a hall.
Mr. Gutman.
Yes, Miss Verdeaux.
Where did you find this?
I found that at the McCutcheon Mortuary, which also happens to be the McCutcheon Brothel, where young men gather to get stiff amongst the stiffs. Unfortunately, most of them end up getting ripped off or even worse. What am I telling you that for? Like you care.
He walks off.
Are you sure about this? I mean, maybe we should call the police.
We? Oh, I'm back on the team now, huh? Christ, you're so nervous. You gotta listen to me. I'm gonna try to be as discreet as I can, all right? As far as going to the police until we have something solid, that's a mistake. Now, I'm staking out the mortuary tonight. You have to trust me, okay?
At night. The man in the red bandana rides a motorcycle through the gate of the mansion.
Hey, hey, Captain Moped, wait up.
The man opens the kickstand.
Hey, hey, what's happening, wild thing? You're looking cool tonight, man. You must know Mickey Rourke, huh? Listen, mind if I ask you a few questions? Here's my card. My name is Rafe Gutman. I'm out of cards.
The man walks to the front door. Rafe follows. McCutcheon smiles.
Here to try your luck again? I've got good news for you, but I'm afraid there's only room for one. This way, young man.
Sorry, kid.
Hey, wait a second. Who's wait right here? You got me?
In the chapel, McCutcheon opens the curtains.
So this is my pathway to paradise, huh?
Oh, yes. And the girls are waiting for you.
The girls. Let them eat a guy named Cake.
You also like crumpet, too.
McCutcheon pulls on the bell rope. The coffin slides down the ramp and through the fireplace. Topless women dance with men. A woman in a blue negligee that goes down to her ankles opens the coffin. Rafe looks out. A naked woman shakes her bare bottom. She runs off. Rafe hops out of the coffin with his mouth open. Four men follow a woman in a conga line.
Guess where you've just landed, lover?
Larry Flint's id?
The woman in the blue negligee wiggles her finger and walks off. Rafe follows. Lilith bites into a heart.
Vegetarian. Another vegetarian. I hate vegetarians. Here, baby. This bud's for you. Mm-hmm. Yummy.
McCutcheon walks in. He looks down at a man's body.
We have a little problem upstairs, I'm afraid.
The woman in the blue negligee guides Rafe upstairs. Lilith stares at Rafe. He looks at her and walks past. She smiles. In the front parlor, the man in the red bandana paces.
Mr. Jenkins, I understand you have a problem.
I can't take it anymore.
Well, have you been wearing sunblock? You know the sun is very hard on undead skin. And you're not even fully undead yet. It's a process.
I don't care what it is. It hurts.
Men, such big babies.
She places her hands on his cheeks. He puckers his lips. She twists his neck and rips his head off.
I just love a man who gives you head and lets you keep it.
In a dungeon room, the woman in the blue negligee holds the door open. Rafe enters.
Lucy, I'm home! Tammy, I love what you've done with it. Now, maybe I would hang a picture of dogs playing poker over there, but that would be my only quibble.
Take off your clothes, worm.
What's that, medieval foreplay? You know, Tamara, maybe I'm a traditionalist, but I've always thought it should be ladies before worms, so you first.
She rips off her negligee, revealing black leather straps and chains.
You are not going to believe this, but I almost wore that tonight. Would we have been mortified?
Now it's your turn.
He unbuttons his shirt, revealing a chain.
Oh, leave your shirt on.
A little early in the proceedings to be repulsed, isn't it?
A Star of David necklace.
I thought it was a cross. Let me take it off.
Now be gentle. I used to be a virgin.
She digs her nails into the back of his head.
Ow, 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 ow. Take it easy. Easy.
She licks her finger.
Pull back on the stick, Amelia. Leave isn't even paid for yet. Now, what about this funky little barca lounger? Break this down.
Well, first I'd strap in one hand.
Yeah, like this.
Ew.
Then, I presume the other hand goes in, right? Uh-huh. You comfy? Mm-hmm.
He pulls on a chain. The torture rack spins back.
I hate to be a painful party pooper, but I gotta split, okay? You have been a super little host.
He drops his wallet. Rafe walks through a crowd of dancing people. He grabs a drink from a woman's tray. He steps toward the fireplace and pours the drink over the fire. He crawls through the fireplace. In the front parlor, Rafe runs to the front door. He looks left and right. He runs into the sample room and hides behind a casket that leans against a wall. McCutcheon walks downstairs. Rafe looks right. He opens the casket. McCutcheon walks into the sample room. The casket closes. McCutcheon looks at the casket. He looks across the room and walks off.
There's always something going on.
Rafe steps out of the casket. Behind him, Jenkins' body and disembodied head lie in the casket. He turns and looks at the body. He closes the casket. In the dungeon room, Lilith picks up Rafe's wallet.
Men, always leaving something behind.
I really am sorry. I don't know what happened. One minute, I thought I had him. And the next...
Lilith grabs Tammy's bloody fingers and sucks on them.
I knew it. It's one in a million. Very rare, this blood type. And I haven't tasted that since Ivan the Terrible.
She smirks.
That was four centuries ago.
She sucks Tammy's fingers.
Oh, we gotta keep him alive.
In the abandoned theater, Rafe takes a pistol out of a desk drawer. He walks across the room. He picks up a bottle and drinks.
The hell are you?
The name's Lilith. And you left this behind.
She shakes his wallet.
It's not very nice to leave a girl hanging like that.
Yeah, well, I'll have to apologize next time I see her.
I didn't mean her. I meant me. You know, I saw you back at the house. And when I did, I knew you were special.
I bet you say that to all the boys, don't you?
Yeah, but with you, I mean it.
Listen, Lilith. I'm reasonably sure you're the type of woman who's never heard the expression half-cocked, but that is exactly what this gun is, and I swear to God I'll use it.
You wouldn't shoot these now, would you?
She touches her breasts.
Go on. You can touch them. I'll let you.
You know, I'm not going to tell you those aren't the breasts of the century, but I'm just not digging the owner, so why don't you put those away? You're just not my type.
So what is your type?
Her eyes glow.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. 2, 4, 6, 8. You can watch me masturbate.
Behind him, she leans toward his ear.
Getting warmer. No. How about something like this?
Lilith, dressed as Marilyn Monroe, pushes her dress down. She blows him a kiss and smiles. He stares off. A hallucination of Catherine appears.
Can I tell you something, Rafe?
Yeah.
She leans toward him.
When you were looking at me before, I liked it. I can't stop thinking about you.
She disperses.
I can be just like her if that's what you want. I'd do anything for you, lover.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
Catherine?
Forget it, Rafe. I'm going to the cops.
At the police station, the deputy eats.
How do I know it's a whorehouse? I was there. How's that?
Isn't that interesting? As I recall, your private investigator's license was suspended almost a year ago. Were you aware of that fact, ma'am?
No, I wasn't.
Well, thank you. Hey, could you possibly get just a little bit of that fucking stew inside your head? Huh? Can we shoot for that?
The deputy raises his eyebrows.
It's a license. It's paper. It doesn't matter. Come on.
And the check for your license renewal bounced.
Oh, for Christ's sake, man. There are people dying. Isn't that more important than my secretarial skills? I didn't even know her when I went there. I was there as an everyday horny citizen, all right?
Did you give this man any money?
Fucking clueless.
Yeah, well, seems to me... the only person I should be throwing in jail is you.
Listen to me, shit for brains.
Excuse me. Deputy, I don't know what to believe at this point. And I know that you have a lot of cases ahead of mine. But Mr. Gutman here did find this at the mortuary. It's my brother's.
Yeah, try not to eat it, Mongo.
The deputy holds the nose ring. At the mansion.
I apologize for getting you out of bed at this hour.
That's okay, officer. What exactly was it the gentleman said happened here?
Don't give me that shit, Karloff.
Rafe walks toward the chapel. They follow. He opens the curtains.
What'd I tell you, kids? Right there. Coffin.
It was pretty suspicious for a mortuary.
You know, Noonan, you don't wear irony very well. Why don't you leave that to the big boys, huh? Now watch what happens when I pull on this. Watch this.
He pulls on the bell rope.
Stupid son of a bitch, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Now you see what happens, Barney Fife, is the conveyor belt goes all the way through the fire, empties out into a room down in the basement.
My God, that coffin cost me more than $1,000.
Look at little Olivier. You are so utterly full of shit.
Uh-huh. Well, careful you don't burn yourself on it now. I'm sorry to have bothered you.
That's all right, officer.
No, come on. This is the entrance to the whorehouse. They knew I was coming back, so they changed it. They're gaslighting me, man.
Why the hell should I want you to come back? We've already thrown you out of the parking lot tonight. He was carrying on with some woman in his car. Disgusting. Two of them stoned out of their minds.
You're a goddamn liar.
Catherine stomps on Rafe's foot.
Don't you dare take the Lord's name in vain. You were with a woman tonight and have been drinking because we could all smell it on your breath.
Outside.
Catherine.
You know, you almost had me believing you. It would have served me right for getting involved with a liar.
Rafe nods.
And a fornicator. And an asshole.
But a charming asshole!
Lilith and Vincent look through a window.
Nice butt.
You want me to finish him?
No, I don't think he'll bother us anymore. Besides, you and me have to talk.
About what?
Our future, without the Reverend. If I were in charge here, we'd have lots more fun. You can't tell me you're having fun working for the Rev. Plus, we're making so much money selling the cars. Seems a shame to give it to charity when we could give it to someone more deserving. I'll make it happen if you give me the key.
How are things going?
Good, good. The girls are killing sinners by the truckload.
The key.
The more?
JC holds the key.
The merrier.
JC walks over to a framed photo of himself.
JC, I'd like to talk to you about what I'm getting from this bordello thing.
Brother Vincent, we're doing this for the Lord. That's what you're getting from it.
JC opens a wall safe.
I know that, but I was thinking if there was some way I could make a little extra money, maybe I could make...
JC approaches him.
Brother Vincent.
JC leans down.
Am I hearing you right?
Sorry, JC. Bad idea. Didn't know what I was thinking. Just forget the whole thing.
How I got over. How I got over. How I got over. How I got over. You know my soul looked back and wondered how I got over. Yeah.
This thing gonna work?
Absolutely. Go.
JC runs on stage with his guitar. An animatronic devil rises behind him.
Stop! Satan, stop right where you are!
On a control panel, laser light of the Lord.
I'm sending you back to the fiery depths where you belong.
He windmills his arm. Fog pours over the stage. He looks at the devil. He looks at the laser light.
I said, I'm sending you back to the fiery depths.
The laser light shoots a beam. The beam bounces off the guitar and burns across into the floor.
Cut it!
Look what he's done to my guitar. What's he trying to do? Kill me? We'll fix it, JC. Don't you worry. If you want, you can wait in your office while we reset everything.
Fine.
That
What's going
scary.
On with you, man? You said
I'll
you
say,
knew
I don't know why they have that damn laser light turned up so high. I could have hurt someone. Good Lord. All he has to do is reflect it onto the devil. Bunch of morons.
Whatever has happened to your brother, I'm sure Satan had a hand in it.
In JC's office.
Was there something else you wanted to talk about?
I'd like to make a documentary.
Really? About?
Lust. I want to warn young people about all the things that inspire it. You know, like strip joints, dirty magazines, pornography.
He steps toward her.
What else can I say, but...
He puts his hand on his shoulder.
Onward, Christian soldier.
On a hearse, McCutcheon's mortuary, pallbearers pull a casket out of the hearse. Rafe walks behind a gravestone. They carry the casket. A woman and man follow. Rafe watches. He takes a newspaper out from under his arm. An article reads, Town Father Dies.
Flesh-eating bacteria?
Cut one from 280 pounds to 114 pounds in 3 days.
What's wrong with this picture?
At night, Rafe steps out of his car and walks toward a crypt. He shines a flashlight on the gate and breaks it open with a crowbar. He shines the light into the crypt. Two red eyes glow. He dodges the cat. Vincent stands in front of an elevator. JC steps out of the elevator. Vincent enters.
Oh, Brother Vincent, I was just looking for you. Where are you going?
I have a doctor's appointment.
JC runs into his office, revealing the empty safe. In a strip club, a naked woman dances on stage. Water pours down her body. A topless woman dances. JC enters in a trench coat, sunglasses, and a hat. He pauses and pushes his sunglasses down his nose. He watches women dance. He spots Vincent and Lilith at a table.
You're so right, Vincent. We should definitely expand into places like this. I want that one for myself.
Hi.
JC walks over.
Vincent.
JC.
Relax, sugar.
What the hell is going on?
Game's over, Rev. I'm driving now.
You vile, pernicious, disgusting little harlot.
You're not so bad yourself.
I did not bring you here for the purpose of feeding your evil desires. We are doing the Lord's work.
Vincent, give me the key.
No, Vincent.
Vincent's eyes move left and right.
Vincent!
Hey, Rev, how'd you like to have a real religious experience?
Catherine Verdeaux, current world ministries. Jodas, follow me.
Oh, my God.
Don't touch the camera.
Excuse me, sir. Can you please tell me why you come here?
She interviews Lilith.
Hi, sweetie.
You really get around, don't you? So, you're into prostitution and strip joints.
Mm-hmm.
You're a total sex maniac. You know you need professional help.
You want to play doctor?
Hey, get your hands off.
Give me the goddamn camera.
In the crypt, Rafe removes a vault door. He brushes his hands through his hair. He pulls on the coffin and slides it out. He opens the coffin. Inside, Jenkins and another dead man's body.
Bingo. All right, boys. Big smiles now.
A camera.
Beautiful. Love it.
Outside the strip club.
For God's sake, Vincent, you're flirting with eternal damnation.
Why don't you relax? I bet that stick up your ass hurts like hell. You know, I can't decide what to do with you. Should I kill you or let you live and make you my dog?
Vincent. Vincent, give me the key.
Lilith looks at Vincent.
Please, the key. For God's sake, hurry!
Vincent, you leave that thing right where it is.
Give me the key.
Vincent?
Give it to me and I will send this demon slut back where she belongs.
Vincent, what are you doing?
What I should have done from the start.
JC stares at him. Vincent tosses the key. Shatters and sparks.
Thanks, honey.
Do us both a favor. Kill him.
Fuck no. I want to let him live. I want this sanctimonious shit to watch what happens now that I'm free.
Daytime. Rafe exits a photo shop. He walks through the parking lot and flips through photos. He pauses. At Current World Ministries.
Catherine?
How did you get in here?
Catherine, I have something I have to show you.
You don't give up, do you? It's like a sickness with you or something.
I went to the Mount Hope Cemetery last night. The McCutcheon Mortuary held an interment there yesterday. I took some photos. These photos are the contents of the coffin that they interred, and I think you're going to want to look at them. Just take a look.
She looks at photos of a man in a coffin.
That's very nice. You're worse than I thought. You're really sick.
And there were two bodies in that coffin when I took the pictures. Two bodies.
All right, sure.
Fucking hands off me. Catherine, come on. At least come to the cemetery, for Christ's sake. Take a look. Yeah,
yeah. Sorry, Jones. Excuse me, sir. Can you please tell me why you come here?
On camera, Catherine walked toward an empty table.
There was a woman at that table, wasn't there?
So, you're into prostitution.
Well, I certainly wasn't talking to myself. I know there was somebody at that table.
Oh, my God.
At Catherine's.
Look, there's JC.
Where's JC? I don't see him.
Right there.
I don't see him. Well, I'll be damned. There he is with the demented Ewok, Professor Lovelace. You know, Katie Scarlet, never trust any man of God with a boner. I mean, an erection. Sorry.
No, boner's the right word.
Oh.
What is he doing there? It doesn't make any sense.
Let's get our facts in order. We have Reverend Current leaving topless bar. That's odd. That's an odd one.
And we have photos and videotape with people who didn't photograph or record.
Follow that thread of thinking. Did not photograph, did not record. I don't want you to flee the room here. I'm going to advance a weird Duchovnian riff. What if what we're dealing with here is, in fact, vampires? Huh?
Are you crazy?
Why is that crazy? Because I advance a singular theory that the perpetrator of our crimes is an eternal spirit who sustains itself solely through the intake of human hemoglobin through a set of protracted fangs. What is that?
Shut up, Rafe.
He zips his lips.
Although, you have been right about a lot of other things.
Wow. Are you being nice to me there, Catherine?
No, I just said you have been right about a lot of other things.
Okay.
Hello?
Catherine, is that you?
Caleb?
It's Caleb.
I need your help. I'm in trouble.
Where are you?
I'm at the old power plant on the south side.
They're coming for me. You gotta help me, please. I'm in trouble. They're coming for me. Hurry! Hurry!
You know, Catherine, I'm not complaining, but I wish your brother would have picked a less creepy place. I feel like I'm in a Bad Tales from the Crypt episode.
A vent blows steam in front of them.
Sorry, I had Mexican for lunch.
Sorry, next time I'll ask him to be more considerate.
Caleb!
She walks in front of Rafe. He holds the pistol and the flashlight.
Come on.
You know, Catherine, I think it's really sweet you want to find your brother, but we should split. I'm getting some really bad juju off this place.
He walks toward cardboard boxes. Caleb's body lies on a blue box next to them.
Catherine.
Oh, my God.
Here, hold this.
Is he dead? Is he breathing?
Rafe flips Caleb's body over.
Hey, baby! Don't touch me unless you love me.
He stands.
Come on, dude. Let's party.
Fangs protrude from his mouth. Rafe points the pistol at him.
Sorry, Catherine, but that wasn't your brother anymore.
Wrong! I'll always be your brother, sis.
Catherine, run from your brother. Hurry!
I am.
Hurry!
I am!
Caleb runs after them.
See the ladder up.
Catherine climbs a ladder. Rafe grabs onto the ladder.
Let's go back.
No, wait a minute. I see a way.
What do you mean you see a way? Jesus Christ, Catherine, what are you doing?
Come on.
Catherine, it's the fucking Grand Canyon.
Just
what are you
doing? Shut up and follow me.
The chain?
A chain hangs from the ceiling.
That is the craziest fucking thing I have ever...
Hi, dickhead.
That is the second craziest fucking thing.
She swings across.
This is a mistake.
He swings through a window and falls onto Noonan's car. He turns his head toward Noonan and passes out. McCutcheon grabs Catherine.
Have a little chloroform, darling.
Too bad.
Caleb looks down at them. In a hospital room, Rafe wakes up.
About fucking time. I've gone to hell and it's worse than I imagined. Noonan, where am I? Where's Catherine?
Oh, now don't you start with that bullshit.
She was at the factory, McCutcheon had her. And that guy worked for Current was there, and her brother. What is this shit? Get me out of here.
Why don't you shut up?
You hear me, thumb dick? They've got Catherine! Now get me out of here!
A nurse enters.
Nurse!
Still causing trouble, is he?
She walks behind a curtain.
Officer, would you mind helping me here for a second?
Listen, you jag-off, if we don't stop these things, they're gonna destroy the city!
Rafe rips off the straps.
Ugh!
I see your fat fucker.
Noonan falls. Blood gushes from his neck.
Tammy!
She lunges toward Rafe. He jabs an IV into her forehead. She pulls it out. She smirks. Rafe pushes a medical cart toward her. He pushes her into a wall with windows. Her uniform rips on a hook.
Remind me, Tammy, why do vampires hate sunrise?
A hole burns through her flesh. Rafe ducks behind a hospital bed. She expands and explodes. A female patient wakes up and rises. She looks at Rafe.
You want to try to keep it down here, please? I'm trying to rest. I knew I should have taken that private room.
She lays back down. Catherine lies strapped to a torture rack.
Caleb, please let me go.
Sorry. No can do. I gotta play by the rules here. I know how you feel. I didn't want to be a vampire either. At first. But after you get used to it, it's pretty damn cool. Besides, you know me. I've always been the little night owl.
Yeah, and getting to live forever doesn't hurt either, does it?
You got that right.
But before we get down to business, darling, I'm going to take you for a test ride.
Oh, sis, can I watch?
JC enters the front parlor.
Ah, first customer of the night. What the hell do you want?
I'm here to see Lilith. I know I can't fight you all, so I've come to join you.
Is that right? I'll be sure to tell her.
No. Now I want to tell her myself.
Come on, Jimmy. I know you a little better than that.
Vincent points a pistol at JC.
Into the parlor, Reverend Sir.
Get your filthy hands off of me!
Feisty. I like that.
Lilith touches Catherine's breasts.
I like that even better.
Don't touch me.
Lilith's hands move down Catherine's torso.
Very nice.
You're disgusting.
Breasts are always nice, but I prefer...
She lifts Catherine's skirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Catherine looks down.
Ooh.
In the front parlor.
I guess this is the end of a beautiful relationship.
McCutcheon looks through the peephole. A car drives through the front door, crushing McCutcheon. Lilith turns her head.
Oh, shit.
Rafe steps out of his car. JC kicks Vincent's pistol-holding arm. Rafe shoots Vincent.
What's happening, Rev? Come on, man, talk to me. I'm feeling a little jumpy, friend or foe.
For God's sake, I am responsible for all this, but I've come to end it.
Inside his jacket, sticks of dynamite. Rafe holds his pistol and a water gun.
All right, let me give you this.
Another water gun.
It's holy water, man.
Well, this might work for the others, but it won't do a lick of good against Lilith. Now, to get her, we're going to have to get in real close.
What are you saying? We're going to have to put a stake in Lilith?
No, I'm telling you. That to kill her, we're going to have to cut her heart into four pieces.
Some chicks demand special attention. Let's do it.
In the bordello, Rafe and JC peer behind a curtain. Women sit and stand around the room.
You ready, Padre?
Yep.
It's like Hope and Crosby. Last call, Miss Kitty.
He squirts a bartender. She bursts into flames.
Cha-ching!
JC holds his water gun. Tallulah looks at him. He squirts her several times. She lights on fire. Rafe squirts her. JC raises his water gun and nods. Rafe cocks his water gun.
All right, Rafe.
JC walks toward a table filled with grapes. He squirts a woman behind the table. He smiles. She flails and explodes. A blonde woman on fire runs past Rafe. A brown-haired woman runs toward him. He squirts her. She raises her hands and tilts her head back. Her face melts. Rafe wipes his face and runs off. JC squirts another woman as she runs past. One woman's torso flies into the air. JC squirts her torso and she explodes. Rafe squirts a topless woman. JC continues to squirt women. Rafe squirts to a woman's chest. JC turns toward a woman's lower body. Her legs stumble across the room. He shoots her and she lights on fire. Rafe turns and squirts water across the room. He squirts a dark-haired woman in the chest. JC squirts again. Tallulah crawls across the floor, her guts inching out of the bottom of her torso. Blood pours from her mouth. Her guts light on fire. Rafe continues to squirt across the room. JC squirts. Tallulah grabs his leg. She collapses. Rafe squirts and a woman runs across the room on fire. Another woman flies into a wall and explodes. JC stares as the burning woman's head flies into a punch bowl. He smiles and looks at Rafe. Rafe cocks his gun and smiles. JC walks upstairs toward Rafe. Burning flesh fills the room.
My God, what have we done?
Don't flake on me, man. They're vampires. Send them to hell.
Caleb's hand pulls a curtain back. Rafe and JC walk toward a door. Rafe turns and walks downstairs. JC enters the dungeon room.
Catherine?
Rafe slowly steps into the main room. He turns and sees nothing. Behind him, Caleb smirks and holds an axe.
Hey, honey, you are...
Caleb swings. Rafe dodges and squirts Caleb's chest. A hole burns through his chest.
Oh, shit. This sucks.
In the dungeon room.
Catherine!
Help! Hurry before Lilith comes back!
Catherine, it's me. It's me, JC. Now don't you worry. I'm gonna get you out of here. Just give me a second while I undo these straps. Sorry if I touch you somewhere I shouldn't.
It's okay, JC. You can touch me. You can touch me
anywhere you want.
Catherine's appearance morphs into Lilith. She rises in the torture rack. JC pulls out a dagger. He plunges it toward her. She grabs his wrist and snaps it off. She rotates his hand and pushes the dagger into his chest. She pushes him. He stumbles back. Rafe jumps off the stairs and swings the axe down Lilith's neck and into her torso. She pushes her shoulder back into her body.
You.
She flips him off. He swings the axe. Lilith disappears. Rafe turns to JC.
Catherine, where's Catherine?
JC's eyes look right. Rafe drops the axe and runs over to a bed of nails. Catherine lies bound and gagged beneath the bed of nails.
Grant, you're so pale. Are you okay?
It's fine. Hurry.
He unties her.
Wait.
He inspects both sides of her neck.
What are you doing?
Just checking for punctures. Can't be too sure.
Come on.
He helps her stand. They run over to JC.
Oh. You gotta hurry. Go back to the studio. Broadcast. Tell them. Well.
JC's head drops. At the studio, Catherine runs onto the stage.
All you have to do is point the camera at me and keep it in focus. Tell Jonas to start the uplink and go.
Okay, you got it.
We'll have uplink in 30 seconds.
Jonas says we'll go in 30 seconds.
Okay.
The control panel blinks.
What the hell?
The animatronic double rises.
Catherine?
Jonas, what the hell are you doing?
Not doing anything, man. Catherine! I heard her.
What now?
Jonas's body flies back. Blood splatters onto the screens.
Jonas, can you hear me? Jonas, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Jonas, I'm coming up.
Ray? Hello? What's going on?
Honey.
Shake.
Jonas doesn't work here anymore. I retired him.
Lilith catches his punch.
Pretty strong for a little guy. So you want to fuck?
No, Lilith, I'd rather crazy glue my dick to the bullet train than fuck you. How's that?
Trying to impress your girlfriend? Well, I'm gonna fix that, right?
She handcuffs him to the platform.
Catherine! Catherine, get out now! Catherine, she's coming!
Fog rises.
Oh, my God.
Catherine!
I'm afraid God can't help you.
Lilith slaps Catherine. Catherine flies across the stage. Rafe jerks at the handcuffs. He looks at the control panel. Lilith walks across the stage. She turns and blows Rafe a kiss.
How am I doing, love? Are you getting hot?
Rafe ducks under the platform railing and lengthens his foot out toward the control panel. He presses the main power button.
You know, I thought we could work this thing out. You could have his mind, and I could have his body. I guess I was wrong.
Lilith throws Catherine into the instruments. Rafe moves the laser light lever with his foot. The laser light aims toward the stage. On the control panel, warm-up buttons light up.
Face it, the best you can hope for is a charity fund.
Catherine swings the guitar. Lilith breaks it and grabs Catherine by her neck. Lilith slaps Catherine. Rafe aims the laser light.
I've never killed a woman before, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
The overload button flashes. Rafe reaches his foot toward the start button. His hand jerks at the handcuffs. His foot presses the button. The laser light burns a cross into Lilith's back. Lilith releases Catherine. The cross glows and burns through Lilith's chest. She falls. Lilith rises.
No.
I guess Reverend Lipstick forgot to tell you.
Shit.
You can tear my heart to pieces, but it won't do any good. If it's still here.
Fuck, I...
Catherine lies on the stage. Lilith walks toward Rafe.
Come on, Lilith. You're holding in a lot of anger. You gotta see a vampire shrink. Come on, Lilith.
Can't we talk about this?
As far as I'm concerned, you and I are through.
Lilith, baby.
I want you to know, I'm not happy.
I didn't mean about the bullet train.
Catherine stands.
Can we talk about this, Lilith? Please?
Sure. After.
Come on. Baby,
I'm through talking now, baby. First I'll rip your dick off, then I'm gonna grind your balls into guacamole.
A pitchfork plunges out of her chest. Rafe catches a piece of her heart. It glows and shrinks in his hand. The other three pieces stick onto the pitchfork. Catherine pulls out the pitchfork.
Heartless bitch.
Lilith looks at the hole in her chest. She bursts into flames. Her body flails onto the floor. Flesh burns off her bones. Catherine stares at Lilith's burning skeleton. Catherine looks at Rafe. They smile. Lilith's skull turns and her jaw drops. In the mansion, the furnace burns.
That should do the trick. When I consecrate a vampire, they stay consecrated.
Thank you, Rabbi. Let's just go with my shirt. It's lovely.
A yarmulke.
You know, Catherine, I don't want to beat a dead vampire here, but I really want to thank you for coming to my rescue back there.
No, it's okay. You can beat it some more if you want to.
Rafe steps back.
Who's that little comeback? That's so sweet. Good for you. Let's say I owe you one, kid.
No, you don't. I had my own reasons for saving you.
Anna, come on, too. Am I hearing this? Is this a whole new Catherine emerging?
Maybe. I don't know. You think you can learn to love me like this?
Well, certainly willing to give it the old college try.
Okay.
After you.
She steps into the driver's seat. Rafe steps into the passenger seat. She hands him Lilith's wooden box.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll put that in my satanic bric-a-brac collection. You know, I have a friend at NASA. I'm gonna send that damn thing into space, huh?
Well, we could do that.
She caresses his thigh.
I suppose.
You have a better idea?
He leans toward her neck and touches her breast.
Sure.
He lifts her skirt. On her thigh, two punctures.
What's that perfume you're wearing?
It's not perfume.
He looks at her thigh.
It's sunblock.
His eyes widen. Fangs protrude from her mouth. She bites his neck. Cut to black.
Well, kiddies, I guess Catherine learned in the end that the fastest way to a man's heart is through his rib cage. Still, I think they make a fabulous couple. They're a regular Romeo and Juliet. And when they do have the occasional disagreement, at least now she'll know what's eating him. She is. Looks like I won.
What are you talking about, dear boy? Come on, let's play again.
The mummy's head.
Eh? Double or nothing.
Take my advice, pal. Quit while you're ahead.
Cut to black. Audio description written by Olivia Habib. Narrated by Herb Merriweather. Described by Audio Eyes. Previous credits: Dennis Miller, Erica Eleniak, Angie Everhart, Chris Sarandon, Corey Feldman, William Sadler, Aubrey Morris, Phil Fondacaro, Ciara Hunter, Leslie Ann Phillips, Juliet Ray, Eli Gabay, Matt Hill, Eric Keenlyside, Kim Kondrashoff, and John Kassir as the voice of the Crypt Keeper. Casting by Victoria Burroughs. Costume designer Trish Keating. Associate producers Dan Cracciolo, Richard Mirisch, Scott Nemurfro. Co-producers A.L. Katz, Alexander Collette. Executive music producer Michael Kamen. Score composed by Chris Boardman. Film editor Stephen Lovejoy, ACE. Production designer Gregory Melton. Director of photography Tom Priestley. Executive producers Richard Donner, David Geiler, Walter Hill, Joel Silver, Robert Zemeckis. Tales from the Crypt comic books originally published by William M. Gaines. Story by Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis. Screenplay by A.L. Katz and Gilbert Adler. Produced and directed by Gilbert Adler. Credits appear. Cast: John Kassir as the voice of the Crypt Keeper. Rafe Gutman, Dennis Miller. Catherine Verdot, Erica Eleniak. Lilith, Angie Everhart. Reverend Current, Chris Sarandon. Caleb Verdot, Corey Feldman. McCutcheon, Aubrey Morris. Vincent Prather, Phil Fondacaro. Mummy, William Sadler. Tamara, Sierra Hunter. Patrice, Leslie Ann Phillips. Tallulah, Juliet Ray. Miguel, Eli Gabay. Reggie, Matt Hill. Noonan, Eric Keenlyside. Jenkins, Kim Kondrashoff. Zeke, Robert Paul Munich. Jed, Gary Starr. Louise, Robin Douglas. Jonas, Dorian Joe Clark. Production Manager, Colleen Neidstedt. First Assistant Director, Lee Nippelberg. Second Assistant Director, Bonnie Benwick. Crypt Keeper designed by Kevin Yeager. Tales from the Crypt theme composed by Danny Elfman. Second Unit Director, Stephen Lovejoy. First Assistant Editor, Evan Fisher. Assistant Editors, Tony Adler, Daria Ellerman, Richard Perkins, Gina Zapala. Post-production assistants, Tony Louis Lewis, Andreas Gabor. Assistant production manager, David Dewar. Script supervisor, Laura Fox. Location mixer, Larry Sutton. Boom operator, Anthony J. Giacinti. Sound assistant, Pat Lowers. Digital sound and re-recording by EFX Systems. Supervising sound editor, Catherine M. Speakman, MPSE. Supervising sound designer, Harry Cohen, MPSE. Re-recording mixers, Ken Tini, CAS, Bill Frisch, Tony Serino. Re-recording assistants, Mike Simpson, Marshall Garlington. Sound effects editors, Timothy Gettimer, MPSE. David Farmer, MPSE. Ann Sibelli, MPSE. Paul Mancini, Michael Moser, Harry Woolway, Assistant Sound Effects Editors, Mark Elsebush, Paul M. Curtis, Dialogue Editors, William Dotson, Marty Bites, Jason King, Assistant Dialogue Editor, Dan Jensen, Foley Editor, Jeff Vaughn, Foley Mixer, Brian J. Gear, Foley Artist, Vince Nicastro, Greg Barbanel, Manager of Sound Services, Paul Rodriguez. Mixed and re-recorded in a Lucasfilm THX, THX Sound System Theater. Score produced by Christopher Brooks, Stephen McLaughlin. Music editor, Helena Lee. Credits continue.
Just to see you.
Executive album producers, Howard Parr and Allison Hamamura. Original soundtrack on Mercury Records. Original score on Barese Sarabande. Shot on location in Vancouver, British Columbia. Sincere appreciation to the Motion Picture Studio Production Technicians, IATSE Local 891, Vancouver, Canada. Color by Deluxe, Eastman Color Film. Presented in DTS Stereo in selected theaters. Digital DTS Sound in selected theaters. Copyright 1996 Universal City Studios Incorporated. All rights reserved.